Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of the Wave Break podcast is brought to you by Klaviyo, the growth marketing platform most recommended by other business leaders. Listen, in uncertain times, you need to be supporting your community and growing relationships with your customers. It's going to be appreciated, it's going to be remembered, it's going to be shared. And in good times and bad, this type of communication that's open and empathetic with your customers is key. This is a key theme that we've been talking about at Wavebreak. I've been preaching this on the podcast. And when you're communicating with your customers in this way, the best way to do this is with email. It is and always will be one of the best channels for delivering communication like this. And what I love about Klaviyo is that email is one of its core offerings. And their personalization that you can do inside Klaviyo is just, it can't be beat. And when you leverage that personalization driven by a 360 degree view of the customer, these emails are going to feel more relevant and they're going to drive even stronger relationships. And Klaviyo gets it. They're not just, you know, some company. They understand how challenging it is right now for every entrepreneur. You know, it was hard to get your business off the ground, and navigating these times is even harder. And if you're feeling overwhelmed with growing your business, know that you're not alone. Klaviyo is here to help you build relationships across any distance for your brand and create memorable and meaningful email marketing moments that last a lifetime. And that's how you build a successful e-commerce brand. And this is why I love Klaviyo so much, because they're on the same page with me and Wavebreak. Is like, we're not just about making more revenue. That's great. But what this is really about is an opportunity to create an amazing community with your customers. And the best way to do it is with email. And if you're not on Klaviyo, you gotta get on Klaviyo. Visit klaviyo.com to schedule a free trial. That's KLAVIYO.com. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Wavebreak podcast, the marketing podcast for high growth direct to consumer and retail brands, where you learn what's working in e-commerce marketing with interviews from the fastest growing D2C and e-commerce brands. Listen, today, ad costs are getting more expensive. There's a looming impending recession potentially. There's all these different factors that are making it more difficult and difficult to scale a direct-to-consumer e-commerce brand. One of the ways that you can diversify against this and continue to maximize performance despite all of these different headwinds is to make sure you're maximizing your existing traffic and customer base through best-in-class email and SMS marketing. If you want to learn more about how Wavebreak can help you as a leading boutique agency that specializes exclusively in email and SMS marketing, you can do so at wavebreak.com. Today on the show, I'm joined back again by Andrew Case. He was on the show, I think, only about a month or so ago, but you know, a lot has changed since then. Q1 was an interesting quarter. April was an interesting month. But wanted to get him back on to talk about like how he's thinking about the current state of e-commerce and all that. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. Andrew, welcome back to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. It's fun. I really enjoyed the last podcast. And I think that this one's going to be interesting to dive into other topics besides just the story of Nimbra.
I think so too. So yeah, let's catch up. So April, interesting month for very, very many brands.
Yeah, April was tough. April was tough. There's a Facebook bug that happened middle of the month and it shut off all of our ads. It happened at like 8 p.m.
Was Eastern that just time. You?
No, was that- no, this happened to a lot of different brands. And I thought that it was my agency at first turning off all the ads. Pinged them on Slack and I was like, what are you guys doing? Like, what are you talking about? We haven't touched the ad account.
Wait, so, how did you find out?
I just looked on Facebook ads and like half of all of our ads were turned off.
Like, did you just happen to check? Like, you're just like, oh, I wonder how Facebook's doing. And then you open it up and like half of them are off.
Yeah, half of them were off. And then immediately after that, like for the next few weeks, Facebook had like performance just tanked for us.
And is that because they turned off, you think?
I think so. Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know. Like,
I mean, in general, I'll say like a lot of the brands we work with had overall like down months compared to
very tough.
Their growth in previous, like Q1 was a strong, strong quarter. I mean, we even see that with like the earnings reports of like public companies. I mean, not every company, not every public brand, right?
Some are just getting tanked.
Destroyed, right? Yeah, Amazon didn't, but like some select D2C brands or retail brands did really well.
But in any case, Facebook ads, super tough. April was really tough in terms of shipping costs. So like as gas prices increased, like in California, it was like $6.50 for a gallon of gas, which is crazy. Like that just increased our costs too.
Yeah. And for perspective, you guys are based in the, your manufacturing is based in the US too.
Yeah. So, you know, manufacturing is based in the US, like we blend in the US and we do all of that, but you know, we source from all globally. Over the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, if like that impacted our margins, we migrated to Shopify. So we're using Webflow on our front end. And then we had Shopify on our back end, but we migrated everything to Shopify. And when that happened, the conversion rate also went down a lot. So I've been trying to figure out how to increase the conversion rate back to where it was, but that was also really tough. So like the past 3 weeks have just been really, really tough. And thankfully in the past few days, everything has turned around and conversion rates up, cost per clicks on Facebook are down. And that's at least encouraging. And like, our subscription numbers are a lot better than they were. But yeah, the past few weeks were really tough. And also we sold out of inventory in the middle of the month, and getting anything inventory wise last month was really, really tough. So selling out of inventory is always a stressful thing because it increases, you know, customer service tickets on Gorgeous. So yeah, April was not easy, but hopefully May is a lot better.
Yeah. And what's your strategy for when you sell out a product? I know, like, you know, on the podcast, I talk with different people. Some people are like, you know, we market as sold out, add to wait list. Other people, they just notify customers that it's going to take a little bit longer. It's difficult, right? Because like you said, like your ads just stopped working and then they weren't working as well. Same happens if you sell out and you got to start from scratch again. I've heard that story again and again on the pod. How do you guys think about selling out and how do you manage that?
Well, I think it depends on how long you're going to be sold out for. You know, so if you're going to be sold out for 3 or 4 weeks, like that is a big thing. And like, you need to put it on your landing pages. You need to tell customers, you have to tell customers regardless within that. But, yeah, so there's a few different components of it. We're heavily subscription. So like we reserve inventory for subscribers. So we don't want to, and I've heard of other subscription brands having this where they sell out of all of their product. And not only does that hurt the new growth of subscribers, but it also increases their churn. Because if, you know, you have a person that is on subscription, they get charged and then they don't get the order. Then they're like, what is going on?
So yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. So you have to reserve inventory for subscribers. So proactively do that. You know, and Harry's, I ordered Harry's the other day and they told me it was going to take 2 weeks to get there. So like, I feel like you can have like a little bit of a buffer. Like it depends. You'll have a small portion of customers that will get mad at you. Once like it, you have like a window of time, I would say. But yeah, I think that if you're going to be sold out for anything, any more than a week, you need to really proactively tell customers. We were sold out for about a week, I would say. And that was stressful, but yeah, anything longer than a week, I would have updated on the website. We didn't like stop selling units. So everything was good within that, but yeah, it is tough.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, that's interesting that, that Harry's, how did they do that? So you ordered from them, what'd you order, like a razor or?
Yeah, I just ordered body wash from them. So I ordered body wash from them. And then, it wasn't apparent throughout the entire flow until the post-purchase email. It's like, oh, that's interesting. And the way that they phrased it was that they're moving warehouses, I believe. And it was going to take 2 weeks to revamp their operations. And I don't know if that's true or not, but probably half true. And I think a lot of people are dealing with shipping delays. Like I've heard from one friend about they ordered a DTC brand. I'm not going to name it, but it took like 6 weeks to 8 weeks to get it. And they're dealing with a lot of stuff on getting it through customs, getting through the ports. So that's really tough. And also, if you're getting anything through the ports right now, everyone is flying overseas stuff from China because I don't know if you like have been keeping up with everything in Shanghai, but Shanghai is on lockdown. Shanghai is one of the biggest ports within China, if not the biggest port. So people can't get boats out of China. And so what that does is everyone is flying things over and they need to get it through DHL. And DHL is super backed up right now. So like, well, it would normally take, you know, 1 to 2 days to get through DHL and get through through the ports and customs. Now it takes like a week and a half. And, you know, flying something over from Asia or whatever, it's so much more expensive than if you have it on a boat. You get it faster, which is good, but it is a lot more expensive. So that's going to also increase the costs for brands, and brands will probably, you know, have to raise their prices to be able to eat those costs. So it's really tough.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, who knew, like, we're still battling, like, to 2022, and we're still having to, like, you know, basically say, hey, shipping's delayed by 2 weeks. Like, I feel like, you know, consumers were used to that in the middle. Like, in 2020, you could totally get away with that. It's like, your package is going to come in 4 weeks. People are like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's normal. Everything's delayed. But, like, now it's 2022, and, you know, every mandate's going away. So, like, I feel like everybody, you know, I feel like consumers are going to be less cool about it, too. Like, they're already, like... You know, you can already see, like, I don't even know. You just scroll through like something general population with a consumer, like, even something like as simple as Reddit, just like any of the top posts on Reddit, and you kind of see the sentiment there. And yeah,
oh, if you go into any brands like Facebook ads and you look at the comments for a brand that's scaling a lot and scaling heavily, a lot of times there are people complaining about, hey, I ordered this a week and a half ago and still no delivery. So yeah,
you're like really not even an update. I feel like that's another thing. Like, you know, everybody's dealing with these problems, like even large brands, you know, like in all the Q1 earnings that are coming out, like everybody's talking about how, you know, supply chain, right? Still, still the buzzword. But,
it's unsexy, but it's something you have to manage.
And communication helps a lot. Like if you don't have your, you know, order tracking dialed on the back end, like that's something that's like pretty easy to fix and then is going to like eliminate a lot of customer service burden, a lot of unhappy customers. Cause it's not even like people care that much. Like there's that subset of customers. Everybody knows them. They care and they get frustrated about everything. You could have a perfect 2-day shipping. They're going to find something wrong to complain about. But the average person is just going to be like, okay, cool. I know, like, I don't have to keep checking the mailroom every single day for it, or I at least know it's going to come in 2 weeks instead of 1 week. But yeah, well, super interesting.
So that was April, but going into May, we have a lot of things that we're doing to increase conversion rate, increase retention, increase AOV and LTV. So happy to dive into that too. If
yeah, what does that look like? So like, I'm sure like, you know, you're seeing the numbers in April and you're like, all right, we got to figure, that's when you get into that mindset of like, all right, we got to figure out a game plan to, just like you start having those ideas, you're like, what could we be doing better? What could we be doing different? Like what were some of those ideas?
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of different things. So we implemented smile.io about a week ago. So still trying to get a handle on that, but
yeah, I remember you telling me you were afraid it was going to crash. Did it crash?
No, it's been good. It's been really good.
So customers happy. They loving it.
Yep.
Everyone's points added.
We have a ton of people that, so basically we give $15 in store credit once you hit 500 points, and you get 500 points. You get 5 points for every dollar that you spend. So if you hit $100, you get $15 in store credit. We have a lot of people that have $15 in store credit. So the goal right now is to drive more retention through the $15 in store credit. Cause you know, after the first order, you know, we're pretty profitable on every order after that. So retention is a really big thing for us. So we have Klaviyo Flow set up for when someone hits 500 points, getting them to use that $15 in store credit. It's a little bit of an interesting challenge to know when to send that email or when to send those emails, because someone goes over $100 in spend, that means that they, you know, already have packages of Noon Brew. So like, what are they going to want to restock? So I'm trying to figure that out. But that's driving retention. We also have smile.io that's connected with Okendo to drive reviews. And we've seen that we're getting a lot more reviews when we're telling people that they get points towards store credit if they leave a review. So that has been something that's really good. And then also we added referral call to actions on each post-purchase email flow. So at the bottom of every single email, we're trying to drive referrals. So it's a give 10, get 10 type of program, but making it really easy for someone to just copy the link and then send that to their friend to get the $10 in referral credit. So that's what we're doing to, you know, increase retention, to drive down our NCAC or new customer acquisition costs. We're going to be launching a new SKU at the end of the month. So that is going to be a complimentary SKU to our team. When we launched Noonbrew, I had like 150 people that I sent out an email to try and get sales. So I did that. I sent it to the Trends Hustle group on Facebook and like on LinkedIn. That was like the main drivers. And now we have, you know, a Klaviyo list that has tens of thousands of people on it. So we're going to be selling the second SKU to those different people. So we've already acquired those email addresses. And the thought is that we'll be able to have really good margins on that since we're going to be selling it to emails that we already paid to acquire. So that would be really good. And we're also going to be putting the second SKU on Reconvert. Reconvert is our upsell tool that we have for post-purchase. And we get a really good hit rate. So supplement brands, what you do with supplement brands, which is unique, is that you can basically sell the exact same product on your post-purchase at a discount. So, you know, if you are a vitamin brand, you can sell an additional 30 serving package to a customer and you'll get a high hit rate. So what we do is we upsell a 30 serving package immediately after they buy anything. And then we upsell a 10 serving travel pack after we buy, or after that 30 serving one. So we have two upsells. They're one-time offers. So you can't get it anywhere else on the website. So we use Reconvert for that, but we're going to be swapping in our new SKU, which I think is going to have a much higher take rate than that. And we'll be able to upsell that post-purchase. And we launched 90 serving. So we launched 90 serving packages, and that has been really, really good and really well received. So that's increasing our AOV. So we're putting in post-purchase upsells on 90 servings after someone has, you know, ordered Noonbrew 21 days or however long it is, they'll get an upsell for a 90 serving, which has been converting well. I feel like I'm just talking a lot. Is that helpful? We have so much stuff that we're working on.
No, it's good. I mean, there's so much I want to dive into. But yeah, I wanted to ask. I know that you launched the 3-pack, and that was going to be big. We've seen that work well for brands that we work with. Yeah, what's that look like? Do you find people? Are you offering that off the bat, or no? It's only available through the back end.
Yes, so we're launching that, or we have that on the website, so you can buy.
Oh, okay.
On the website,
are people choosing that to start with?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
For sure. Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Cost savings? They want a 90-day supply, or like, what do you think that is?
I don't know, to be honest.
You're like, I don't know, but they're our best customers to acquire.
Yeah, they're great. They're really, really good. So I'm not quite sure. We drive most of our traffic to a subscription funnel. So it's not like our main offering, but we do get a portion of people each day that are first orders that will get 90 servings. But then we also have a lot of people that, you know, buy Noonbrew. I just saw it like yesterday that like someone bought Noonbrew 30 serving pack. And then like immediately, it was like a day after their order got fulfilled for the first time, they went back and bought a 90 serving. So I think people like to stock up. I think having the 10 serving, the 30 serving, and 90 serving really offers flexibility for people to purchase. And like that has been a really big lever for our growth.
And what did you used to do? Did you have a 2-pack in replacement of that?
Yeah, we had a 2-pack.
Like the Athletic Greens strategy?
Yep. We had a 2-pack, but Athletic Greens is a 2-pack monthly subscription, which people have asked us for. But instead of that, we just have a 90 serving subscription, which we're having a growing base of customers that get 90 servings every quarter. So every 90 days.
I mean, that is a great subtle, I don't even know, like easy overlook strategy, the 90-day subscription. That is really great because like if you need to generate cash flow quickly as a subscription brand, that is a great way to do it. Like you get them locked in on a subscription, so then you feel good about the LTV. It's not like they're buying a 90-day pack one time and then they're off into the sunset. But then you still get that cash flow up front, which is great. And that's why it's worth it to give the discount. But yeah, that's so interesting. And then tell me about the new product. So the new product, I'm not going to spoil what it is because I don't think you want to say, but it's, you know, super cool. Love the name. But how are you thinking about that? Like, is that more, I know you mentioned you got this Klaviyo list, you want to upsell it. It's going to be, you know, mostly pure margin outside of like product costs and, you know, Klaviyo. What are you going to do acquisition wise? Like, are you going to, you know, bundle that and send Facebook ads traffic to it? Are you going to run that as a separate SKU on Facebook? Like, this is when, because you like, you have like one product right now. So like now things are going to start to get complex. Just curious how you're thinking about adding that second product and getting it out there outside of that Klaviyo list. And now a quick break for a quick word from our sponsor, Okendo. Okendo is the new standard in customer reviews for high growth Shopify brands. We use them with our clients and they work with over 4,000 of the fastest growing Shopify retailers like Skims, Nomad, and Buck Mason to help them leverage their most powerful asset, their customers. Okendo gives brands all the tools they need to capture and showcase customer generated content like product reviews and ratings, photos and videos, and Q&A. Plus, they have an awesome integration with Klaviyo that makes it easy to do cool stuff like send review request emails and target shoppers based on review content. And now that it's that time of year again, when Black Friday and Cyber Monday are top of mind, Okendo is offering a 90-day free trial to help e-commerce brands ramp holiday conversion without having to worry about increased subscription costs. If you sign up before October 31st, you pay nothing until 2022. It's really a no-brainer to me, and don't worry, you won't be forced into any expensive annual contracts after your trial is up. They offer super affordable monthly subscriptions starting at $29. So you can make the most out of this holiday season with a little help from Okendo. Visit okendo.io and start your free trial today. That's okendo.io. Thanks, Okendo, for sponsoring the show.
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So the way that I'm thinking about it is we're definitely going to bundle it. So I think that a bundle with a 90-serving pack post-purchase makes a lot of sense, even giving it away for free. Post-purchase, if they purchase a 90 serving, just because the margins on that would be advantageous. You obviously have to like A/B test it within Klaviyo to see if that makes sense. But yeah, so we're definitely going to put it within Recur, like I mentioned. It's going to be the first thing that you see when you have that, or when you purchase Noon Brew by itself.
And how do you do that from a technology perspective? I know you love geeking out on like Shopify tech. Like, how do you actually do that?
So, I mean, it's just an app. Reconvert, you download the app and then...
Oh, you're using funnels. Reconvert for that?
Yeah, you can easily install Reconvert. We're also looking into Rebuy as well. So that could potentially boost our AOV upfront. So what it does is it adds in a upsell at the swing out cart. So when you click add to cart 30 servings, it'll say like, do you want to have like a 10 serving for, you know, $10 and then get free shipping off of that. So like we're thinking about adding in shipping costs right now. Everything is free shipping, but we might add in shipping for certain items, or like you have to have like a threshold. So we're going to be testing that. But yeah, Reconvert's super easy to set up. I definitely recommend it. It's like one of the highest ROI apps that we have within that. So, you know, think about that. Think about also, you know, post pilot. So direct mail, we're going to be sending out a direct mail pilot, I would say. So we're not going to be sending it out to all of our customers because that's going to be really expensive, but we're going to test that to see if we get like a really good, probably like, people that have ordered more than once, we'll send that offer to in post pilot. Just to see how well that converts on our new SKU. But bundling is going to be one of the biggest levers. And then also for people that have churned subscription wise, you know, giving that to them as like a discount, to get them back onto a subscription could be an interesting tactic as well. So, I mean, there's a ton of stuff And I also have to launch the landing page, but talking through Facebook ads, we're probably not going to be running Facebook ads to it just because it's a lower price SKU. And making the customer acquisition costs work on that is going to be tough at first, but we'll seed it to influencers. That's what we're going to be doing as well.
Oh, nice. And then what's the plan in terms of like seeding that? Like, are you going to set aside, like how much, like, do you have a game plan for that yet? Like, oh, we're going to set aside, like we're going to go after 1,000 influencers, or like, how are you thinking about that?
Yeah. So we've already started going after influencers and we're getting a really high response rate.
Just because. Let's talk about that. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. So messaging with an influencer, you have to be very, very short and brief. And, you know, it's not like, hey, like pay for post, anything of that sort. It's like, we're going to send you the product for free. Like, just let us know what your address is.
It's like, what's your address?
Right. Yeah. It's like, hey, we're coming out with XYZ in May. We'd love to send it to you.
Do you do influencer for your existing products?
Not really. We've been mainly focused on Facebook. So we're going to do that. We're going to start getting more into that in like the May, June timeframe. We're also going to get on Amazon too. So that's going to be another lever that we're looking at.
When are you going on Amazon?
Probably in the June to July timeframe.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then we'll launch that SKU on Amazon too. So that should be good for cash flow. We just haven't had the inventory to go on Amazon.
I see.
You have to stock up on inventory for that. And you don't want to run out of stock on Amazon. So once we're able to stack inventory, that's when we're going to be going on Amazon. I think that, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can go with influencer. Influencer is good, but also influencers can be very difficult to work with and very flaky. So you have to watch out for that. Where like you'll send them product, they'll reach out to you. Like they reach out every single day trying to get free product and then they'll just never post. So like, that's also a thing as well. I think that like, we're going to be looking at influencers and we're also going to be looking at publications. So trying to get into Bon Appetit, trying to get into these different food magazines and big bloggers. The to-do list is very long. Right now, but you know, I think it's going to be really good.
How big is the team these days? Is it just you and your co-founder full time? And then you use an army of contractors?
Yeah, it's my co-founder and I full time. Then we have two people in the warehouse. And then we have a few people sprinkled in.
Do you still do customer service yourself?
No, thankfully I use Talent Pop. I'll plug them and they've been good so far. So it's a talent recruitment agency. We tried to do FreeUp and Upwork, but like managing that process myself was just a headache. So I opted to pay more for a customer service rep and like they've been great. So like
how much does it cost? Can you say?
It's like $13 to $14 per hour, which seems like a lot, but like
they crank through tickets
worth more than that, you know? So like it makes sense to pay that. Yeah. And they just crank through tickets and they're great.
And like what does that come out to? How many tickets do they do per hour? I guess you could say instead of,
I don't know. Gorgeous was down today, unfortunately, but,
dude, everything's going down. Shopify checkout. No big deal.
Shopify checkout was down last week. Yeah. It's awful.
Did they ever put out a statement on that? Did they put down statements on that?
They don't give you a refund either. It's like, hey, you guys lost me like thousands of dollars, but I'm still happy to pay. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And then people are like, why is Athletic Greens still on like PayPal or something? Right. I forget.
Yeah, Athletic Greens sets their own setup. So that's
pros and cons. I would still run Shopify. Well, like all those companies, all the subscription companies started like pre-2015, I think. They're all on custom setups because it didn't exist. Do you want to switch gears to launching a brand in 2022?
Yes. Yeah. So I want to hear from you first on.
Yeah. We covered last time. We talked about 2021, launching a brand in 2021. Now it's 2022. So how do we launch a brand? Yeah. What do you want to hear from me? You started a question.
I want to know from you why DTC brands fail.
Ooh, it's a great question. I was thinking about this because there's so many reasons why they fail. And I would put failure in a few buckets. And just context, like, you know, we've worked with over 100 plus brands directly. I'm very closely involved still with the day-to-day of our client work as an email and CRM agency for high growth direct-to-consumer and enterprise brands. So I see a lot. And I think what's been really interesting is like, we even see brands, you know, we'll see brands we work with that we watch, you know, really closely, that's a client. And then we'll see someone else in the marketplace who's a competitor. And these companies will have totally different growth trajectories. Some of our clients grow really fast compared to the competition. Others don't grow as fast. It's like, what's the common denominator? I got to say, like, the biggest one is team. Like, the people who scale a team and they do it really well always go way further. Like, there's, I'm not going to say the company, but like, there's a company that does 150 million a year in revenue. And then there's a brand we work with that does 15 million a year in revenue. The 15 million brand is run by, like, you know, the founder, no team. That's it. Founder and agencies. That's a great business in the sense of, like, you know, it's 15 million in revenue in one person. But in the same amount of time, another brand grew just, you know, same exact product.
And they raised funding for the $150 million one.
Yeah, the $150 million. Let me see. I feel like no, not till later. I feel like they got some private equity money later. No. Bootstrapped. A little bit of seed, friends and family, it looks like. I can tell you who these companies are after.
Cool.
And maybe I'm wrong about it, but, you know, think skincare space. One's doing 150 million a year, the other's doing 15 million a year.
So the team is one big one. I think that people, yeah. I think brands run out of cash. Cash flow.
I mean, that is that too. Nobody's built a profitable business. It's hard. It's very hard to do.
It's very hard to do. And also, it's very easy to leverage yourself. So you're leveraging non-dilutive financing. So, like, you go to a payment provider, like,
Clearbank, Shopify payments,
Clearbank, and you're using that to pay off your credit card bills. So you're, like, leveraging super, super hard. And what you're finding with Amazon aggregators, which we were talking before the call, is that they were so levered that when Amazon, you know, went down, supply chain was very tough to get product from China, all these different, like, external factors happen to really make it tough for these Amazon aggregators of Thrasio, all these different ones. And also it's very competitive to buy these Amazon brands. Like, when those payments come due for the creditors, like, and if you're not growing at that rate, like, you are going to get wiped out. And you're seeing that with a lot of these different companies. And that happens on direct-to-consumer brands. I mean, it's very tough to really profitably grow without, like, a really good retention. I would say, like, we're seeing it right now where we have a lot of orders. Like, the percentage of our orders that are subscription, either new purchases or refills, is very, very high. And that has been really good because now those subscription refills are really kicking in. So it's driving our profitability. So we're becoming, you know, a lot more profitable each day. But for a company that's, like, a one-time purchase and driving profitability in the first purchase within Facebook ads, that's very tough to do. And I think that that's going to be even harder unless you have very good organic growth. So that's probably, you know, we're going to see a lot of those brands that are going to struggle moving forward as Facebook ads increase. Like, they're not going down, that's for sure.
No, I mean, no advertising has ever gotten cheaper. If you try to buy a TV ad now compared to 1995, the price has not gone down. I always joke around, there's three certainties in life: death, taxes, and rising customer acquisition costs. Well, rising ad costs. Your customer acquisition cost doesn't actually have to necessarily, because you can find the next arbitrage, but even that won't last forever, right? Facebook didn't last forever. Now I think everyone's trying to look to TikTok as the next kind of scalable, low cost to acquire customer channel. But yeah, we'll see how that plan pans out.
Yeah. So launching a brand in 2022, let's go. And, you know, we talked about why D2C brands fail, and there's a ton of different reasons. I think that, like, cash flow.
Oh, I mean, so many. Not launching the right product at the right time. Want. Yeah. Not having a product that's worth marketing. Also.
Yeah. Like, you want to be able to sell, like, you know, there's a painkiller and there's a vitamin. Like, right. I'd much rather sell a painkiller versus a vitamin, because you can charge more for it, you know, versus a vitamin that, like, you might not really be able to even experience or, like, understand the benefits of. So I think a lot of products are vitamins, or you know, there's not really, like, a use within the marketplace for it. But I did want to talk about how to find ideas for e-commerce startups, because I think that that's really interesting, and I don't want to talk about all doom and gloom too.
Well, yeah. And you had to find this idea. So, I mean, your story, we went into it last time, you were in outbound sales, and then you were into, you know, launched Stacklingo in the space. And then you ended up, you know, getting this idea. We talked about how you found your idea in the pandemic. How did you have any other ideas on the list?
Yeah, I had a lot of ideas. I think that this one is, you know, by far the the best one within it. But I think that like there are a few different mental models that I tried to come up with that helped me when I was trying to look for an ideas. And one of the ones was to take something that's successful in Australia or Europe and then bring it to America. So like sleeping blankets, a lot of people developed sleeping blankets like either in America and they brought it to Australia, or like the hoodie with Davey Fogarty. Like that's just the Snuggie. And he took that and brought it to Australia and blew it up. So like, that's like an interesting one. And like taking QVC products, so QVC and Home Shopping Network products from the old days and making like a new age version of it. Like that's like, you know, the Snuggie was like that. So Snuggie was super popular in the 90s and early 2000s. And then like now that's being revamped, taking like a very, you know, basic product. Like, have you seen those big blankets? There's this company that just says huge blankets.
Huge blankets? No.
Have you not like seen they that? Do for like these like NBA players? It seems like it's made for an NBA.
Oh, no player. Way.
And they do tens of millions of dollars in sales. So they just literally took a normal blanket and they made it into a huge blanket. And their sales are crazy, crazy, crazy.
Dude, I love these like non-obvious, obvious ideas. Like that's the white space. Like people would say, oh, like I got to solve a real problem, be a vitamin. It's like a big blanket's not the problem. But honestly, it is. Like I even saw someone like tweet the other day or Instagram. They're like, secret to a successful marriage is you each have your own comforter. And it's like, whoa, like why is that so obvious? But no one does that.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, and also just like finding ideas that are really exploding. Yeah. Like the market is so big that like
so big.
Weighted blankets. How many people or how many companies like
weighted blankets?
Crush on weighted blankets.
Dude, socks. Can we talk about socks? How many companies are crushing it on socks?
Like Stance, yeah. Stance.
Dude, there's so many. Stance socks. Bombas. Dude, Bombas went from 0 to 100 million, I think, in 4 years.
And that was the thing in the past too, which is, you know, taking a regular item and adding a charity component, which is tougher, I would say.
Doesn't work anymore. Now you like have to do it. It's almost like table stakes today. It's kind of like everything, right? In the beginning, right. It's like, oh, gluten-free. That's such an advantage. Now you got to be gluten-free or have a gluten-free version or like, you know, whatever. Like as the consumer evolves, it's not like they're, I mean, you think about how far just like manufacturing has come in the last 100 years. Like, you know, people were still getting their arms cut off like 100 years ago. And like, you know, kids were still making your shirt in America, fitting their arm down that machine that only they could. And it's not like those standards ever went away. I mean, it's the same with product standards too.
Right. I would for sure look into direct response marketing in the past of like what was sold via mail order and what was sold on, you know, Home Shopping Network and QVC.
Yeah. And products that like people are already buying, and use that could be done better. Like one of my favorite examples of this, as soon as you mentioned this, I was like, oh dude, Copperfit Energy Socks. Do you know Copperfit Energy Socks?
No.
All right, dude, this is going to blow your mind. So it's getenergysocks.com is the website if you want to Google it. And now a quick break for a word from our sponsor, Recharge. The subscription market is predicted to grow to nearly $500 billion by 2025. As a fast-growing area in commerce, subscriptions hold tremendous opportunities to build a community of customers who share your values. Recharge is the leading subscription management solution, helping e-commerce merchants of all sizes launch and scale subscription offerings. Recharge powers the growth of over 15,000 subscription merchants and their communities, turning one-time transactions into long-term customer relationships. Whether you're a direct-to-consumer business or an omnichannel brand, subscriptions strengthen your brand's relationship with your customers and make it easy for consumers to make repeat purchases. With subscriptions, merchants are able to experience predictable revenue, increased customer loyalty, and higher average order values. Turn transactions into relationships and experience seamless subscription commerce with Recharge. Get started today with the subscription payment solution trusted by over 50 million subscribers worldwide by heading over to rechargepayments.com/e-commerce leaders. And now, back to the show. It is not the best looking website. Tell me what this website looks like when you go there. It's getenergysocks.com.
It definitely looks like an old school advertisement website.
Like ClickFunnels from 1999. Yeah. Like, congratulations, you've won pop-up
vibes. These are compression socks.
Yeah, so these are compression socks. Very interesting company. So this is run by a company. All they do is as seen on TV ads. Their pitch is like walk and stand more throughout the day. They've been around since 2000. They have a few different companies. They have a Vanity Planet competitor called Flawless Beauty, which is like basically very similar to Vanity Planet products, which is like electronic beauty things. But they basically spend a ton on TV ads. So in 2020, they were the number one spender on TV and like the as seen on TV product segment.
Wow. It's a huge market.
Yeah, I mean, to put it in perspective, they're spending $363,000 a week in 2019. And then lockdown comes. Dude, this is like my favorite power move of all time. Like everyone else is freaking out, cutting ad spend. How do I know? We're working with these brands. They're like, we're not doing anything. We're changing everything. This guy literally calls up the ad networks and is like, hey, we're going to scale to 5.5 million per week. So he went from 300K a week to 5 million a week. What do you think his team thought when he told them that he was going to do that? Probably thought it was
crazy.
A little bit crazy. Well, anyway, dude, they spent an average of 2.9 million a week in 2020 on TV ads and 21 million alone on their energy sock ads. I'm thinking they did really well. And I don't know exactly how much revenue they do, but I mean, it's socks and they're selling them for like $20. It's the classic buy two, get two or something. But I think they're doing really well. I think this company, you know, to be able to spend over $100 million on TV ads a year, you're probably doing a decent amount of revenue. But dude,
like really they upsell face masks too. It's like perfect. They probably get it from the same supplier.
Oh, for sure. Like, and dude, like how much are socks? But what's crazy is like, you think about this and you're like, oh, well, like, dude, the product doesn't look great. It's just like a pair of normal socks. Do you know Comrade socks? Have you heard of them?
Nope.
He's like, compression socks like work, they're effective, they do give you this support. He's like, let's D2Cify these bad boys. I think this is before D2Cifying. Well, it was kind of during the D2Cification of like products, but like they're basically like the same product, but like they actually look good. So it's comradesocks.com. They're kind of known, you see them around in case studies sometime in the D2C world, but like this is an awesome example of like, you know, taking a product that's really effective and useful and then like spicing it up and making it a great product for like the modern consumer.
Yeah. And then also you can like, there's a few different other ways. Like you can get an existing product and then, you know, target a certain audience like Black Rifle Coffee. So they very much sell to military and like drive that. And obviously you have to be authentic with it, but like you can create brands like Dr. Squatch. Dr. Squatch is incredible, but they like, you know, made a soap company that's funny that like goes after men. So I think that there's different opportunities in just taking existing products and really niching down, like niching down to the college market. You can niche to older people, like what Ezra Firestone does with Boom by Cindy Joseph, like a skincare brand directed towards people that are above 50. And those people are great. Like they have a lot of discretionary income to spend money on. So I think that that's like a really interesting one. And then one other one that I had on the list was, celebrity co-founders. So like you see this with Golden Hippo, which Golden Hippo does, I think they've done like billions of dollars in sales, and they have like a brand with Dr. Gundry, which they have Dr. Gundry up, you know, out front that he's within all their different ads, and they make a lot of money off of that. That's a supplement brand. They normally do supplement brands. They have one with Randy Jackson too.
From American Idol?
Yeah, from American Idol. And they like if you look at their funnel, like it's like just go into Golden Hippo, you can see all the different brands, I believe, within there. But yeah, that's like an interesting one of like getting a celebrity co-founder. You're starting to see this too with D2C brands like Kin Euphorix has one of the Hadids, I think it's Bella Hadid, that is a co-founder now with the one that started it. And then also Maud, which is a sexual wellness company. I forgot who the co-founder is of that, but they recently installed a celebrity as well. So like getting a celebrity co-founder, like you see this with Proactive. Proactive has used this tactic for decades. With
the Biebs. You
know, yeah. Justin Bieber with Jessica Simpson, with you know, the Adam Levine from Maroon 5. They had like all these different celebrities and it can be a deal with the devil if you don't manage it, but it can also propel you to $100 million in sales. So it's there's a really good blog post by this guy named Peter Kell that built a D2C supplements brand from $0 to $40 million in a year. And he talks about how he talked with the guy, one of the guys from Proactive, on how to get his brand to $100 million in sales. And they're stalling at like the $3.5 million per mark, per month mark. And he wanted to get it to $100 million. And the guy's like, you have to partner with a celebrity, but it can be a deal with the devil to get there.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I'd say the one catch there is like, you can't just partner with a celebrity and like, that's your shtick on like why you're a better brand. Like, it's like, right. Oh,
they have celebrities' product story too. Like, you can't because partner with a celebrity and they don't actually use your product.
Because just as much, and you kind of touched on this at the end, like just as much as this can be a growth lever for your brand, it can also like go the other way if you get it wrong. Like, cause then you give up a lot of equity, waste a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, if they get, you know, cancel culture, like they get canceled, like that reflects on the brand. I mean, we even saw like, you know, Travis Scott, right? With his concert, how that affected all the Kardashian brands. They couldn't post.
Cactus Jack or whatever his
His own brand, but like even like
Bush,
yeah, I mean even like Kylie, you know, cosmetics and all her different Kylie. I can't even keep up with their family and brands these days.
Brands.
All I can remember is like Skims and Good American, and that's it.
And Skims is doing great. Like, that's like a great case study.
Dude, Skims is crushing. Yeah.
Right. Like, and even Fashion Nova, they use Cardi B from the onset to pump out products. So I think that like this, the co-founder, the, you know, the reach, like Emma Chamberlain, Chamberlain Coffee, like that is doing very, very, very well.
But it's also authentic, right? Like Emma Chamberlain. Exactly. I don't watch her videos. I don't really know of her, but I have seen like some analysis on the brand. Like apparently she loves coffee. And so like, it was a really natural thing for her to be like, yeah, here's my coffee. And then, I mean, it's a great brand name too.
With dude, chocolate, you know, his chocolate.
That is a great example. Dude, one of my favorites is also Prime, the energy drink, or sorry, the sports drink with Logan Paul and KSI.
Yep.
Have you heard of that? I mean, that's a great example of like, oh, Gatorade is such a huge market. Who's the other competitor? Powerade and Body Armor. Like, okay, there's probably room for a fourth new brand for people to try and get obsessed with in terms of just like finding new ideas. Too, like,
if you have competition, it's good. That means that people are buying it. Like, you don't.
Right. If you have no competition, you should be a little bit worried.
Yeah. It's very hard to introduce a new product these days. There's a good quote by Nas that says that there's nothing new under the sun. And never what you do, it's how it's done. And it's true.
Nice.
So yeah, you gotta wrap up, right?
Yeah, we gotta start wrapping up. But yeah, I mean, moral of the story, celebrity could really accelerate. I'm curious though. I don't know. I think we're on an inflection point with that too, where like it could work, you know, maybe it still works, but I think that's also a strategy. I don't know. The consumer's evolving so rapidly. Like, we'll see.
It has to be very authentic.
Very authentic. Like, you can't, and don't partner with somebody who has other brands too, I would say already.
Right.
Like, then it's not going to work enough. And yeah, it definitely has to be authentic. I mean, like, that's it, right? Like, TikTok will tear you apart if you're not authentic. Like, Gen Z, they are a beast.
But on the flip side, it can really, really work. And you have all the organic from, you know, that.
Right. And the social proof. And the social proof. Like, I even like the, you know, the we'll end on this, I guess, before we transition to like last things, but like CoverGirl, like, you know, they had the CoverGirl on streaming. They've been running like the CoverGirl from like 20 years ago. And she's like, hey, it's me. And look, I still look great. Like, that's the power of CoverGirl. And it's just like, that's another great example of like, you know, even like a legacy brand tapping into that. And it's just like, oh, cool. Like, it's a little bit nostalgic. It's like, wow, that's interesting. And then it's also like, wow, the product really must work. It just catches you off guard. I mean, that's what good marketing does, right? Like, gets your attention, you trust it, and then you go and you buy the product.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Any last thoughts as we start to wrap up here? Like, a lot of exciting things happening. How are you thinking about the rest of 2022 as well? Like, we've got some, you know, lockdowns going on in China. You know, April was Q1 was generally strong. Like, how are you thinking about the rest of the year?
Yeah. And I wasn't laughing about the lockdowns happening in China, but just like laughing at like the,
no, just the state of commerce that like there's always something.
I mean, I think that you have to roll with the punches, you know. I think that like it's very challenging, but also very exciting. But yeah, the way that I'm thinking about it within everything is like, one, we need to reduce our dependency on Facebook. So we're looking at different revenue levers of like, hey, let's drive retention, let's drive referrals, let's look at different channels from wholesale to Amazon. So that's a big, big initiative that we're going to be undertaking, launching new SKUs as well, so that we can bundle and we can also increase the AOV is something that's really, really top of mind right now. And it's also reducing churn. So diving in, understanding why people are churning, how to make it easier to manage your subscription, like all these different things. Like if you optimize it a little bit, it compounds. So I think that, I mean, and also to your point too, it's like, how do you build out a really good team? And it's tough working with agencies because, you have like really good agencies like Wavebreak. But then you have, agencies where you work with some and you just don't know what their capacity is. So like you get sold that you're going to, you know, have this great team and then like they get stretched too thin.
Dude, it's hard. So, I mean, on that note, I'll say like with us, like, especially if you're a great agency, like you have capacity issues, like we don't accept new clients. Like that's what we do. And it's really tough for us to do that. But like, a lot of agencies don't. And then, yeah, they turn into the bad agency or they hire someone who's not good just to service your account to get the revenue and make it. Exactly. And they don't care if you stay. I mean, that's the complete opposite of what they're trying to build, but no, it's so true.
It's very, very, very tough. And it's very hard to know how to evaluate an agency before you get into a contract with them too.
Very difficult. Yes.
So the team component is something that I'm really thinking about because I can't do, you know, I can't continue doing a lot of these different things myself.
Well, I mean, especially like paid search and social, like that changes on a daily basis. And the fees for that, like, I mean, even like with us as Wavebreak as an agency, like we bring so much value. It's like more than one team member where like it's common for a lot of agencies on the acquisition side where it's like you're getting a fraction of a team member for the price of like a few, like you could have an FTE in-house.
And also too, it's like once you get a percentage of ad spend, like if you're scaling, you need to keep an eye on how much you're paying these agencies because you can pay agencies easily $20,000 to $30,000 a month just on their fee. If they're tied to, you know, how much you're spending on Google or how much you're spending on Facebook, like it can balloon very, very quickly. Cause you know, if you're doing well and they want to scale, it's like, all right, cool. Let's scale. But then like, they're also,
our incentives are really aligned.
10 to 15%. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I think the team is one of the big ones, but you know, happy to do a check-in in a month or so and tell you how it goes.
Yeah. We'll have to do it. We got to see. We'll have to do it after the new SKU launches too. So we can, or is that coming soon or when is that launching?
Yeah, it's launching in a few weeks. I think we're launching my birthday. So.
Oh, nice. Cool, yeah, man. Birthday SKU.
We'll do a birthday SKU. Yeah.
Nice. Well, cool, man. Well, people are listening and they're still drinking an afternoon coffee, but they want to get rid of those jitters, but they still want that focus and they still want to be dialed in. Where can we learn more about Noon Brew?
Grab Noon Brew, noonbrew.co, and use Noon20, N-O-O-N-20 for 20% off.
Ooh, nice. 20% off. That's a substantial discount.
There's two costs for this podcast. I can afford
it. Oh, you're not going to send me wire?
Yeah. Cool, man. This is fun.
You could give the product away for free considering how much Facebook costs these days.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, man. Thanks again.
Yeah, dude. This was fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wavebreak podcast. If you're not subscribed on iTunes or Spotify, go hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. And if you're not on our email list, go sign up at wavebreak.co/join. You'll join other e-commerce leaders at brands like Skims, Cartier, and Walmart, and thousands more, learning exactly what's working in e-commerce right now. You won't want to miss it. Sign up at wavebreak.co/join. It's free.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Wavebreak Podcast. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you.